Welcome, welcome, one and all, to another episode of the Rocker Dog Podcast, the show that talks to musicians of all genres about dogs of all breeds. I'm your host, Tim Dill, along with my dog, Charlie, of the Golden Doodle variety. And today we welcome to the podcast Mario Quintero of the dark and dynamic band Spotlights, who will soon be out on the road supporting Mr. Bungle on a UK summer tour. And these are his senior and still spunky rocker dogs.
Today we're talking about Lulu right here. She's a little Chihuahua slash Maltese mini poodle, we think. Going on 13. She'll be 13 soon. And then we have Melvin over here. He's the OG. He's just a straight up Chihuahua. Hates everybody. Has almost no teeth left, but he's 13 now.
Okay.
And.
Now, I suffice that the name has some significance, given there's a Melvin's poster right behind you.
Funny enough, it really doesn't have much of a significance. Like, it's not because of the Melvins that we named him Melvin. We were going to name him Elvis to start.
Right.
And for some reason, I just woke up out of a nap and was like, Melvin. Melvin makes sense. And Sarah was really like the huge Melvins fan out of the two of us. I love the Melvins, but it wasn't something that came to me because of that. Yeah. I
don't know. And what about, does he have a middle name? Is it Melvin Alfonso?
Yeah, that's Melvin Alfonso. And then Luisa Maria is Lulu's full name.
Full name. And any significance of any of those names, or just something that rolled off the tongue nicely?
Luisa does have significance because she, so one of our favorite bands is the band Mew, M-E-W.
Okay.
They're from Denmark, and they have a song called Luisa, or Luisa, and it's just one of Sarah and I's favorite songs. It's actually the song we played in our wedding, like we walked off to it and whatnot, and so it just fit Lulu and called her Luisa. And then the Maria just seemed to slide off the tongue. Luisa.
Yeah, my mother's name's Maria, and it does make for a great middle name. So we've given that to our daughter.
Nice.
The context for getting the dogs, if you go back 13 years, does this predate your relationship with your wife?
No. So Sarah actually bought Melvin for me for my birthday. I think it was 2009. This was just before we got married. So we were technically married because we sort of eloped.
Mm-hmm.
And we were already legally married, but we did have a little wedding at my parents' house in Miami that Melvin got to be a part of after we were together already. So
he was, it was he in the ceremony?
Not in the actual ceremony, but he was in the crowd, and he wasn't okay. Some of the things.
What about Lulu? Did she come in? I know their ages are similar at about a year apart, but did she come in a year later, or when did she come into the picture?
So we got her because really Melvin was a little baby when we got him. You know, he was just tiny and had tons and tons of energy. And so he was just like, we were working at the time and we'd come home and he would just keep us up all night, just on and off the bed, on like just running around the house. And we just found Lulu on Craigslist. We figured it was a good idea to get him a partner to hang out with. And we saw her on Craigslist. We saw her little picture on there and just like killed us. So we went and saw her, and she definitely needed to be rehomed from where she was. And we just, they, as soon as they saw each other, they just fell in love. They like started playing together, and it was like, it was over. So we lucked out.
That's great. What was her situation like that made it apparent that she needed to be rehomed?
So there was a woman that had her, it was this lady and her son. And, you know, I think they were doing their best to take care of her, but she was like, not going outside to go to the bathroom. She was peeing on a towel in the house.
Oh my God.
They had a little cat also. And, you know, so when we went to go see her for the first time, I'm holding her, or Sarah was holding her. And the little boy was like, hey mom, did you tell them about the fleas? And she was like, what? There's no fleas. And right then I looked down at Sarah's hands and there's just fleas covering her hand.
Oh like, my God.
It was just a mess. She had worms. She had fleas. She was like really tiny. It was just not a great place. And, you know, the lady, I think, loved her, but it was obvious they couldn't take care of them. So we wish we would have taken the cat as well, but we couldn't at that time because I think we had five or six cats at the house already.
Oh my God. Yeah. Now, where were you living at the time? Where are you guys?
This was in San Diego.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And you're now in Pittsburgh?
Yep.
Is it Pittsburgh via San Diego or Pittsburgh somewhere else on the East Coast?
Pittsburgh, New York. I mean, sorry, San Diego to New York and then New York to Pittsburgh. So we were in New York. We lived in Brooklyn for about 6 years.
Okay.
After San
so
Diego.
I assume I'm very familiar with New York, having lived there a number of years, but there's space issues. And so how did the dogs do with these different moves?
I mean, they're good with the moves. I think the actual travel and everything they're okay with, and they're okay to adapting to new places. But New York was definitely tough on them. I think, especially we lived in a 4-floor walk up, you know, this was like, I think it was like 12 full flights of stairs to get up to the apartment. And, you know, they're tiny and like, so just to go outside, just to go for a little walk was kind of a trek for them. And then there was no real dog parks. We were near us. We were in Flatbush. We were super close to Prospect Park, which is a huge park there, but unfortunately they don't have any dog areas and they only do off leash hours like at night and early, right, early in the morning, which is like impossible. You know, we don't want to take them and just risk it being dark with them out there. And not only that, they're so little that we're always nervous about taking them to dog parks anyways, because the wrong dog just pushes them the wrong way and they could break their neck. So it was tough. It was tough for them, I think. And they love being here now because we have a big yard. We have all kinds of space. We can go for walks all over the neighborhood and it's much better. They're doing much better.
That's great. Now, life with cats, you insinuated that you had many cats in the past. I know you've got Ray Jones and Boris currently.
Yep. Yeah.
How, and I know just by pictures, it seems they all get along famously. I've seen them sleeping on the bed together, but throughout the history with all your cats, has it always been a very good relationship or is there ever an adjustment period?
For the most part, I think the dogs. So when we got Boris, before we got Boris, when we were in San Diego, they were all older, most of the cats that we had. And so they kind of had their own relationships. The dogs didn't really affect them and vice versa. You know, they didn't really like interact much. And then a few of them passed away when we were in New York and Sarah found Boris. We heard him. We kept hearing this little kitten crying for like 3 days straight out our window, like in a yard. It sounded like in a yard behind our apartment building. And one day Sarah couldn't take it anymore. She went over there and sure enough found him like abandoned in a little like planter, in a broken planter. So she got him. And I mean, he was like this big when we got him. And now he's massive. He's huge.
Do they outsize the dogs?
Oh, yeah. Boris by double at least. I mean, Boris, they weigh probably about 7-8 pounds on a heavy day.
Okay.
And Boris in the wintertime, like right now, he gets up to like 17 pounds, 18 pounds.
That's too funny.
But so Lulu kind of was like his mom. She would like lick him and clean him and, you know, and snuggle with him. But over the years, they kind of split apart. And now with Ray Jones, they're totally cool. They kind of leave her alone. They, you know, they kind of look out for each other. But with Boris, it's just they don't like him at all. They hate him. As soon as he jumps on the bed, they run him off. Or, you know, if he looks at him the wrong way. I think he also instigates it. I think they're like sending mental messages to each other all the time and he just stares at them and then they just freak out and chase him off. So
that's funny. Well, oftentimes I ask if a dog is on brand, and more often than not, it's because I'm dealing with, you know, a heavy metal rocker and they've got these cute little dogs, and you guys aren't far off. I won't call you heavy metal. I'm not going to get into genres here, but
sure.
When I ask if your dog's on brand and go back to, you know, some of the ways your music's been described, and I think this is probably reviews for Alchemy for the Dead, but it's been described as tense, eerie, exhilarating, simmering, doom-laden. So do any of those fit the personality traits of Melvin or Lulu?
Yeah, I think a mix of both. Melvin has kind of the aggression of some of the heavier parts of our music, and he's also like a sweetheart, you know, at least with us. And Lulu is a total just like lover. She loves anybody and everything except other dogs. She's terrified of other dogs and just freaks out as soon as she sees any other dog. But yeah, they're kind of like, they're a good yin yang. And I think our music has sort of a similar push and pull with those personalities. I've never thought of that though. That's cool. It's interesting.
And then going back, I know your fourth LP, Alchemy for the Dead, it's already been a year since it's been out, but you know, with the various themes about death, you know, that go throughout it, given your dog's ages, do you ever consider life without them? Like, are you considering what's down the road for them?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You know, I try not to think about it too much. Obviously, it definitely gets me down thinking that one day, I mean, we don't know for sure, obviously, but they probably will go away before we do. Mm-hmm. It's part of life. It's unfortunate. It's one of the toughest things I think about having animals in general, just dealing with that. We've definitely dealt with it multiple times with cats, and it's never easy. It's always heartbreaking and sticks with you forever. But when I do think about it, I just think about trying to give them the best life we can and enjoy them as much as possible. Let's, you know, to us, they're our family. So like, we don't treat them like they're a commodity to us. You know, they're not, I don't even like to call them pets really, because they're just as important in this household as we are, you know, and that's why we feed them like we would eat. We try and feed them food that we would eat. We let them sleep wherever they want. We let them go wherever they want. This is their house as well. So, but yeah, it's a tough thing to think about the inevitable day for any of these guys.
Yeah. Now you mentioning that they're like family, you know, there was a quote that, you know, when your publicist and I were going back and forth, that you said these guys are our family and the most important beings in our lives. And given you're a married couple with no kids and I think four pets right now, in that context, I completely understand. I mean, I have kids, but I also believe my dog is part of the family. Would anybody in your orbit or circle of friends roll your eyes at that sentiment?
I mean, I think anybody who knows us well at this point understands. You know, I'm sure there's been moments maybe where we had to make a decision based on that and people were like, seriously, you know, or whatever, like if you can't find a pet sitter. Like, for instance, I'm actually going to see my family tomorrow in Miami for New Year's, just for like holiday time, and obviously we wanted Sarah to go, we both wanted to go, but we just couldn't find a pet sitter for this time. And Ray, our cat, she's taking some medication right now, and you know, it's just stressful. We try to not put them in stressful situations. Like, we can't board these guys. They would literally die. Lulu would have a heart attack. There's no way she could deal with that. And so, you know, there's moments like that where it's like we have to make a decision with them in mind. And sometimes it overrides whatever we want to be doing, you know. So, and that's okay. It's part of the deal. So we, you know, if it was a child, it'd be the same thing.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate also that the airlines charge you just insane amounts of money to fly with your dogs, especially little guys like this, where I think it's at this point, it's like 200 to 250 each way, depending on the airline. And my ticket was cheaper than that.
Like, yeah. Wow. I didn't realize that simply because I've never had to travel with my dog, but that's, you know, as Chihuahuas, that's just a carry-on bag that you're, you know, that Chihuahua is going to be with you the whole time.
Yeah. And they can sit, and you know, it's also, they don't let you, they make you put them under the seat. They don't let you hold them, which is, I think, ridiculous. Also, like, you're not going to make somebody put their toddler under the seat. You know, you're holding them. It's still a little being that's nervous and scared. So it kind of pisses me off. We've driven down a lot of times to Florida for like family time, and we bring them with us. But it's tough after being on tour for months this year. The last thing we want to do is drive again and do another 30-hour back and forth. Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, I know you guys do tour heavily, and that begs the question, who's your go-to for the dogs? Who do you trust to watch them on long stints?
For a long time, Sarah's sister, Dana, used to live with us. This was all, she was living with us, just to paint a picture of how crazy New York was for us, living in a one-bedroom apartment. We had five cats, the two dogs, and three people living in a one-bedroom apartment.
It's quintessential New York living.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it was awesome because we had Dana, you know, she worked in town and she works in music as well, like doing teching and stuff like that for bands. At the time, she was just working at venues locally. And so she would stay home with them while we were on tour. And we were touring a lot when we were living there. So it was amazing. When we moved here, she did move with us, but then she ended up moving to Bellingham and getting married. Yeah. And so now we don't have that anymore. But luckily, after like kind of just searching for options, you might have heard of this, I'm sure, doing this podcast. And if you haven't, this you should spread the word, because it's a website called trustedhousesitters.com. So basically it's like Airbnb in a sense, where, you know, we pay a fee as people who need pet sitters. We pay, and it's really cheap. I think we pay like $160, $180 a year,
mm-hmm.
For the membership. And then people who want to pet sit or want to stay at people's houses pay, I think it might be double that, like $350, something like that. But so you pay those fees and that's it. You go, you know, you build a profile online and people, you put your dates that you're going to be gone. And then people from all over the world, it's like in, I forget, 200 something countries around the world. Yeah, they'll just look up your dates. If somebody's like, oh, I've never been to Pittsburgh before, I want to, you know, a lot of people just travel and work from the road and work mm-hmm. from home or whatever. And so they'll come stay at your house, watch your dogs. For them, they're getting a free place to stay. And for you, you're getting a free, you know, free pet sit. That, and they take really good care of the house. It's not like a service. So they're not like employed by anybody.
Right.
But it's all fully insured, and they do criminal and personal background checks on everybody. And
that sounds great.
It's amazing. We've had so much good luck with it. Like everybody who we've had stay here has been great. A lot of times it's like older couples that are retired and they're just kind of traveling around. Sometimes it's somebody kind of looking for a new place to live, and they're just, it's a perfect way to kind of see new places without committing to anything and live there. You know, on this last summer tour that we did, we were gone for 2 months, and we had a woman who had a little dachshund that she brought with her to around their age, and they got along well. It was awesome. You know, it's just great. Good to know they're in good hands. They're in their own house. We do like we'll do a FaceTime with them before they come and stay, or before we even commit to it, and just make sure it's a good fit. You know, things like these guys, they're so used to sleeping in bed with us that they kind of have to do that. Otherwise they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And so that's a deal breaker for us. Like, are you okay with them sleeping in bed with you? And they're like, yeah, you know, we're used to it. So it's been that's awesome.
I love it. And I haven't heard of it. I'm going to definitely check it out. And it's funny that you're in Pittsburgh, because I grew up a Steeler fan and I've never been to Pittsburgh, and I've heard so much about it. And like, I'm going to apply to be your sitter one of these days.
Yeah, you got to do it.
So on the site, do you have profiles of your dogs as well? I mean, I assume so.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like you build like a little,
just an overall profile of you and your dogs and your home,
you and your dogs and your house, and you know, whatever amenities you have at your house.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's been awesome. Even living in a town like Pittsburgh too. Like, I thought living in a smaller city like this, where it's not necessarily a destination for people,
mm-hmm.
we still have not had a problem other than this time. And we did get an applicant for this time, but we decided to just not do it because Ray needs the medication.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we've never not gotten somebody. We even had somebody drop off last minute that was like the only bad experience we had, was somebody dropped off a week before or something when we needed a pet sitter, and we were still able to find somebody that was good to help us out.
Gosh, yeah. I tell you, the minute we're done here, I'm going to log on and check it out. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, you should.
So with the travel, do you see any separation anxiety happening, like, say, when you're packing a bag?
Definitely. Yeah, it's tough, because as soon as they see the suitcase come out, even before that, because Chris, our drummer, lives in New York still. And so usually before a tour, Chris will come out maybe 3 days beforehand or a couple days before for rehearsal. And as soon as they see, they love Chris. They love him to death. He's the only person that for some reason, he could walk in after months of not being here, and they won't make a peep, like, more so than when we come home. We come home and they yell at us still. But like, anybody walks in this house and Melvin's like a sounding an alarm for like 5 minutes straight. With Chris, it's just silence. They just look at him. They're like, oh, hey, man, what's up? Welcome back. But they know as soon as Chris is here that like something's starting to happen. And as soon as we start rehearsing, they just start getting a little more nervous and a little more tense. And once the suitcase comes out, or we start packing up gear, they start getting all, you know, sad and depressed. And Melvin he'll start getting like fussier. So like, you know, if the pet sitter, we usually have the pet sitters try and come out one night before we leave. So they just, it's not just a random person showing up when we're not here, and just to kind of get them acquainted with the house and everything. But yeah, usually by that point, when somebody comes in the house, he knows and he's just pissed. And he'll just hide. He'll hide under the bed and bark for like an hour straight, just in protest of.
It's so funny.
Leaving.
It's amazing how well aware they are of everything.
I know.
You know, just these little cues that they.
Yep.
You know, they're keen on.
Yep.
You mentioned this earlier about their food, you know, their human grade food. You did say they're extremely spoiled, and a note that I got. What's the biggest indulgence you bestow on them?
I mean, they get all the treats. They get, you know, Sarah works at a pub down the street, and Melvin is so spoiled by French fries. A lot of times she used to bring French fries home or whatever, you know, a burger with fries or something. And he's just, he knows when she's at work and he knows what time she gets off usually. So like by like 10:30, he goes to the garage door and just sits there and waits because he knows that French fries are on their way.
Again, and if she doesn't bring, that keen awareness.
If she doesn't bring French fries home, he gets bummed out. We have to give him something because he's just like, what the?
That's so funny.
But yeah, little things like that. I mean, you know, we try to keep their food. That's another example. They get super picky because like after having a certain food for a few weeks or a couple months, Melvin will start looking at me like, really? The same thing again? And then we have to switch it up and find something else for a little while and kind of go through different things. He's really the pickiest one. Lulu's not that bad, but
yeah, it's a doll. Now, you mentioned the thing, it was Melvin getting teeth removed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you've got two, I guess, quote unquote, senior dogs. So what are kind of some of the challenges you're seeing as they get older?
I think that's one of the biggest ones. I mean, Chihuahuas in general have bad teeth. And pretty much anybody who I know who's had Chihuahuas at this age, if they have any left, they barely have any left. So it's always tough. At this point, we really try. We do our best. But, you know, we brush them. We give them all the, like, tooth brushing treats, anything that we can do. But it's just a thing. Even the vets told us, they're just like, there's nothing really you can do at this point. They're old and their teeth go. And, you know, we just got to keep taking them out. But I also hate having them put under at this age too, just because I think it takes a toll on them. And, you know, it's always scary to do that for them. They don't like going to the vet anyway. And so, you know, it's tough little things like that, but honestly, we feed them really good food and we take care of them. And they're both super healthy for their age compared to most Chihuahuas this age that I've met. You know, their hair is super soft. They're strong. They run up and down stairs all day long. They can go for long, you know, sometimes we go for like 2 mile walks, which for them is a long walk. And yeah, they're hanging in there. Like Melvin, the worst thing, and he's gotten better actually, because we've been giving him a lot of like the Cosequin treats that are for joint health.
Yep.
And I think walking a lot more too has helped. But he was getting a little shaky, like his back legs would get a little shaky sometimes, which that makes us nervous, but he's still good. He still jumps around and runs all over the place. So I think we just try and keep him as active and healthy as we can.
Yeah.
Keep
away. Their life expectancy is like 12 to 18, and it's very common for them to make 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you never know what you're going to get, but it sounds like these two are well on their way to, they're middle-aged right now.
Yeah. 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 Let's hope so.
Well, I wind down every show with the zoomies, and that's just the last five frivolous questions. So let's go there. Question one is, do you kiss your dogs on the mouth?
Sometimes. I mean, I don't necessarily shoot for the kiss in the mouth, but someone like Lulu, she kind of makes you do it. She'll just stick her tongue. No, she'll find your lips or your nose or something with that tongue. But I'm not opposed to it. I just don't usually. But we kiss them all over. For sure. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. That's actually the correct answer.
Nice.
Question two is, do they have a theme song? Like what would play for their walk-up music to the plate or their red carpet music?
Oh, man. I feel like for Melvin, it would probably be like a DMX song, something like that. Okay. Like a Rough Riders rap song. And for Lulu, I don't really know. We have, you know, I'm sure a lot of people do this too, but they both have millions of songs that we sing to them randomly just all the time, with including their name somehow.
Right.
They're just kind of made up tunes on the spot.
Yep, I know it all too well.
Lulu's would totally be some sort of like probably a Mew song. Maybe her song that she's named after, that would be Lulu's song.
That makes perfect sense. Question three is, as musicians, I know often you guys have endorsement deals, whether it's for your guitars, drums, or pedals. If the dogs had an endorsement deal, what would they endorse?
Melvin would endorse any French fry producer, I think. That would be his favorite. And Lulu, one of her favorite things is actually broccoli. That's like her favorite treat, funny enough.
Wow. That's awesome.
So yeah, she would be like a an advocate for vegetables of some. She loves them all. As soon as she hear, anytime if we're like chopping vegetables and she hears the knife hit the cutting board, you just hear she'll run right in right away.
That's great. What a
Carrots,
sophisticated
broccoli.
young woman.
I know.
Question four is, do you use a dog voice to speak to them?
Sometimes it goes on and off. It depends on the situation. It's which I think kind of like a like a human child would be too. Like if they're being good and sweet, they get the sweet voice. If they're being bad, they get the other voice.
Right. Now, do you or anybody else give them a voice if it's as if this would be what they sounded like if they were human?
I think we have in the past. Yeah, I mean, Melvin usually has an accent, like he'll have a Hispanic accent just because he's Melvin Alfonso and he's Colombian, or actually he's Mexican. I'm Colombian, but he's Mexican. They both are technically probably from Mexico. Being so close to the San Diego, to the Mexican border in San Diego, that's probably initially where he came from. We got him in Temecula and I'm pretty sure he spoke Spanish first.
Okay.
So, but yeah, every once in a while it varies. It comes and goes.
Okay. I can imagine. All right. And then last but not least, is there a dog organization or service that you'd like to give a shout out to or just put a spotlight on?
I mean, as far as the pet sitting thing, I want to give Trusted House Sitters a shout out for sure. And I mean, honestly, I don't have one in particular, but any organization that's honest and is actually putting proceeds towards the right things, it's huge. Any person really who goes out of their way and volunteers to like help trap, neuter, release with cats or to help, for me. We have to stop brereeding. Like I and not only breeding pit bulls, but breeding every dog. It's not, we don't need to do that. And it's unfair to any animal to be doing that, to just be like used to make money off of them. If we were able to stop that, it would be a huge help. I mean, a huge help just to lower the population of dogs that don't have homes, to lower the population of dogs that need to be euthanized for no reason on a regular basis, and or just dogs and cats and all animals, honestly, that are just treated like people just because humans think that animals are a commodity to us and we deserve to be able to do whatever we want to them. So it's ridiculous.
I hear you, and I couldn't agree more. Just needs national attention. I mean, I don't think if you're not into the animal scene, you may not be aware. But like every shelter, and I say this in every podcast, every shelter is bursting at the seams, and just doing what I do, my social feed is filled with shelters throughout the country, and they all have the same message. We're overcrowded, like you said, good, healthy, young dogs run out of time, so.
A big thing, like a help would be like if even local government or state governments or nationally, if we subsidized if or if they subsidized just neutering and spaying animals, so because a lot of people they don't have the money to take them to the vet and pay the anywhere from like $200 to $1,000 depending where you live to get your dog neutered, and the vets aren't going to do it for free. But if that was a thing where it's just subsidized and everybody who if you have an animal, if you bring an animal into a vet, they have to take care of it for free or at least for very cheap, for something manageable. But because I think that's a big fear of people too, and then they don't end up doing it, and before you know it they get two dogs and all of a sudden those two dogs make more, and then they're selling puppies in the parking lot at the grocery store.
To say at Walmart. I see that all the time. Well, on a high note, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah,
I
thanks for
love
having me. I
meeting and talking
appreciate
to people like yourself and that have dogs and care for their dogs, and you have cats and pets as well, and it's always refreshing to
Same.
know that there's people out there doing the right thing. So thank you.
No, I appreciate it. We appreciate you.